Romans chapter 3. Let's look at that. I'm going to just take a little side trip here this week. And why I'm doing this is, excuse me, how many of you get Rick Renner sparkling gems every day? No, there's one that comes out every day. Okay. Anyway, this was the July 29th edition of his sparkling gems. And as I was reading it, there's something that just struck me in there. And I thought, wow, that's really good. This is really good. So I thought, you know, this would be a really good thing to share. And, you know, of course, my mind just started doing cartwheels on some of the stuff he said. But he's talking about, he's comparing the law and grace in this passage of Scripture. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And so, you know, of course, he's talking about grace overreaching the power of sin. And the fact is that the law came in, and the law wasn't able to do anything to help man stop sinning. It actually stirred up sin, even strengthened sin even more. It didn't help strengthen us in our battle against it. It actually worked the opposite way. But God provided his grace to deal with that. And so he's talking here about grace abounding. And so Rick Renner did this wonderful job of talking about grace abounding. And, well, first of all, let's look at what abound means in regard to sin abounding. The word abound means, just means more, first of all, just means more. But it's talking about the tense here is always, you know, Rick Renner with his tenses and things like that. But the tense here really is what really, really brings the punch to this. The Greek tense for this word where sin abounds is an abundance that is growing larger and more expansive with the passing of time. So he says that sin is growing larger and more expansive with the passing of time. And I would have to say that I would agree with that, wouldn't you? I mean, just the things we're talking about previous to starting this morning about just the social issues, you know, there's things going on and on a global level. It just seems like it's growing larger and more expansive with the passing of time. In other words, he says it's never stagnant. It's constantly growing, increasing, and expanding. And so he translates that as where sin exists in abundance and is multiplying and constantly expanding. So he's saying that sort of describes the growing nature of unrestrained sin. But then he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop, Paul in his writing doesn't stop there. He has the answer to it. He says, but grace did much more abound. And I think we've all heard people say that and quote that passage in regard to today in reference to the things we're dealing with today. It seems like the blacker it gets, well, you know what? Grace does much more abound. And so much more abound, the definition here of that describes something that is growing out of measure, beyond proportion, and out of its banks to a far-stretched extreme. So he says, for wherever sin exists, this could be his translation. You know, I love how Rick Renner teaches. He just amplifies things. For wherever sin existed in abundance and is multiplying and constantly expanding, that is precisely the time and place where grace is poured out in far greater surpassing quantity. And so I was thinking about that. Okay, let's not limit that to sin. Let's not limit that to sin. Expand it to anything that would come under the heading of darkness. So what about sickness? What about strife in a home, a person's home? What about moral decay? What about global problems, things that we're looking at, you know, all over this world? What about fear, anxiety, all those types of things? None of those things are stagnant either. You know, sickness isn't stagnant. If you ignore sickness, will it just stay the way it is? If it's a serious illness, it's not going to remain stagnant, is it? It's going to do exactly what this word abound means. It's going to continually grow, increase, and expand. So we could say that about that. What about financial problems? If, you know, Dwayne shared our testimony from years ago, how he would just throw the bills in a drawer and pretend they didn't exist. Well, you know, those bills are just going to keep coming, aren't they? And they're going to keep on adding on interest and penalties and all kinds of fun things like that. So they aren't stagnant. They continue to grow and to increase and to expand. So, you know, we could apply this passage of Scripture. We could apply, instead of sin, we could say sickness, lack, need, fear, anxiety. We could talk about the whole moral state of this world, all of those things. None of those things are stagnant. They're continuing to grow, increase, and expand. And then he writes this. He says, it's like a giant river that is being flooded with waters from upstream. Those waters are coming downstream so fast that the river can no longer hold the raging current in its banks. Its water rises and rises and rises until it finally begins pouring out of its banks and begins to flood everywhere in sight. This is exactly the idea that of the word Paul uses when he says grace did much more abound. So it's like, it would be like sickness is just this river flowing through your life. But when we learn how to tap into the grace of God, it's like the spring thaw happens and the grace of God just floods and causes that thing just to overrun its banks. So the grace of God is so much greater, so much more available. And isn't that how God has done everything from the beginning? God always provides more than you could possibly need for any area of life. That's the concept of grace abounding. Grace abounding or super abounding is there's so much more available to answer any need or problem that we have. And when I was thinking about that, I thought about what it says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, what does it say? The Lord will raise up a standard against it. In other words, something that's even greater than that. The Amplified says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him and put him to flight, for he will come like a rushing stream with the breath of the Lord, which the breath of the Lord drives. So think about that. You know, think no matter what we face in life, if you're facing some kind of health challenge, well, you know what? Even though it might seem like it seems like it's getting worse, the problem's getting worse, or a financial issue, or maybe marital strife or something like that, you know what? Even though it seems like it's getting worse, there's something so much greater to provide the answer for that than what that problem represents. So I was thinking, you've heard me quote the Voice Translation. I really like that Voice Translation in some places because it really just, it always brings out a kind of a refreshing aspect. And so there in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. This is what the Voice says. No matter how much sin crept in, there was always more grace. Isn't that good? There's always more grace. No matter what we face in life, if you're facing a financial challenge right now, you know what? There's always more grace. Whatever your challenge is, there's more grace. There's always more grace. It doesn't mean like there's always just enough grace. There'll always be enough grace. No, there's always more grace than that problem represents. If you're facing a conflict, a relational conflict of some kind, there's always more grace. There's more grace on the God side to take care of that problem than there is the problem. So I just wrote down some thoughts. So again, that Voice says, no matter how much sin crept in, there's always more grace. So I was thinking, okay, so no matter how much sickness creeps in, there's always more grace. No matter how much need creeps in, there's always more grace. No matter how much confusion and strife creep in, there's always more grace. No matter how much fear and anxiety creep in, there's always more grace. No matter how much moral decay creeps in, there's always more grace. So we could just plug in anything that we're concerned about in the days we're living in. No matter what creeps in that causes a challenge or poses a challenge to us, there's always more grace. There's way more grace. So should we be concerned or take a care or become anxious about the things we're seeing happening in the world today? Absolutely not, because there's always more grace. There's always more grace. So, you know, you think about all the way through the scriptures, right from the very beginning, we see that God's picture of creation was that way. God created everything. He created it all up front before he even placed man on the earth. He created this incredible world. Everything had a seed in itself so it would continue to replicate itself and grow and come back. There was never an end to anything. God, you know, people are so worried about us running out of fossil fuels and things like that. You know, God knew how many people would be on this earth. God provided, amen. There's always more grace. There's always more than enough. And no matter what the devil tries to throw in the mix, there's always more. You know, even in when Moses challenged Pharaoh, to let God's people go. Remember, Pharaoh's magicians threw down their staff. Well, what did Aaron's staff do? It swallowed it up. So no matter what the devil tries to bring or whatever he tries to present, there's always more of an answer available than that need could ever be. Even though that need may continue to grow and increase, you know what? There's always more grace. There's always more than enough to answer that problem. I just thought of a few different things that you know, even under the old covenant, or even prior to the old covenant, where there were needs in people's lives, God provided, we could say, abundantly, or grace abounded in these things. In Numbers chapter 11, think of the story of the manna being provided. Now, God just didn't provide manna. He provided manna for them for 40 years. Is that abundance or not? Now, of course, you know, they griped about it, as humans do, even with blessings. Sometimes they gripe about their blessings. And in that same chapter, in Numbers chapter 11, God provided quail for them. Now, that miracle turned out to be kind of bad for them, but they were griping, got their quail. There was so much quail, each person collected for a day and a half, they collected like 6 bushels of quail. You couldn't eat that much quail, so we know that didn't turn out real good. But still, God provided abundantly for them. I was thinking about how many different times did Jesus feed the multitude. He started out with a few fish and a couple loaves, and they ended up collecting basketfuls of leftovers. They fed thousands of people on that. So you see, God's grace is always so far outreaches or overreaches the need that we have. So if you're facing a health issue, if you're facing some financial challenge, if you're facing a problem in your marriage or with a friend, you're facing any issue that we face in life that presents a need of some kind, grace does much more abound. There's always more grace than that need represents. And not just enough, you know. You know, it's always nice when we have a need met and it's just enough, but it's way better when it's more than enough. Amen. And that's God. He's the more than enough God. I was thinking too about Abraham when he went up on Mount Moriah to offer Isaac, you know, in obedience to what God had told him to do. God saw ahead, didn't he? And made provision for that. That's the God we serve. He always sees ahead. When we have a need in our life, or we find out that something's going on with us physically, or we have a financial need that suddenly comes up in our life, that's not the first time God heard about it. It's not news to him. He doesn't look at Jesus and go, well, do we have enough to cut? Do we have this covered? Well, they have it covered, all right. They have it. There's always more grace. There's always more than enough to meet whatever the need is. And so, you know, of course, what is grace? Well, grace is God's provision for whatever area life demands from us. You know, when we were in school, we looked at all the different types of grace. Tony Cook taught a really, really, really good class on understanding grace. There's, you know, grace for salvation, grace for standing, grace for serving, grace for deliverance. There's all kinds of different areas of grace. But really, you know, of course, most people would know grace as God's unmerited favor. It's just God's favor in our lives. It's something that God has done for us that's independent of us. It's not something that God does because of something we've done. It's something that God has done independent of us. In the case of salvation, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. In other words, he was slain before we were even here. In God's mind, God had already provided for us before we were even here. So again, that's grace abounding. The grace of a God has abounded towards us for whatever need we could possibly have. Grace is God's ability working in us, enabling us to do what we're unable to do on our own. So if we find ourselves up against a situation where we don't feel like we can do what we're facing, that's where the grace of God will abound. There's always more grace. We find ourselves being challenged in our job or you know, just in a natural sense, in some way, if we find ourselves being challenged, we need to remind ourselves there's always more grace. There's more grace than this need could ever represent. Grace is always consistent, and grace is unfailing, and grace is available to everyone. In Titus, it tells us, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It's appeared to everyone. So grace has appeared to all people. All people, no one will stand before God and say, "I no one told me, I never knew." The grace of God has appeared to all men. But not all men respond to the grace of God. And that's really a huge part of this. Grace has to be responded to. It has to be replied to. We have to have a reply to the grace of God. But so grace alone can't save us. People have to respond to the grace of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it tells us that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So few people will find salvation. Why? Because grace isn't the only side of it. There has to be a response of faith. Faith is what causes us to tap into this abundance of grace that's available. You know, we would say, well, there's always more grace, there's always more grace, and then sit and not do anything about that. Well, I have a financial need. Well, there's always more grace. Praise God. And we sit around and wait for God to pour out this financial answer in our lives. No, you have to respond to that grace in some way through faith. Faith is a response. Now, in Matthew there, in Matthew chapter 7, where it says, broad is the gate, and there's only going to be few people that come in. We could substitute that as some of our other needs as well. Not just salvation is few that find it, but few people find financial prosperity in the body of Christ. Few people ever walk in divine health. Why is that? Because they think, well, God said that it belonged to me, but they never find the means to appropriate it. They never learn how to appropriate the things that God says belong to them. And so that's where faith comes in. There's something that's required on our part. We're in a partnership with God. He did all the providing. He kind of, it's like having a pantry. You know, you hear about these preppers who have their basements full of food and they're all stocked up for whatever's coming, you know. And it's sort of, in a way, God is the ultimate prepper. He's provided everything that we could possibly need. And so it's like having this huge, huge basement full of stuff. But, you know, we have to go down and we have to take advantage of it, don't we? We would have to take advantage of what he's laid up in store for us. So there's a response that's required. And that's really how grace profits us in our lives, is walking by faith. Faith is what causes us to appropriate the things that God has provided for us by grace. And that's really where the Christian walk needs to be focused, is, Lord, how do I walk in faith? You know, we've talked so much about faith in this class over the years. But even salvation, it doesn't, in Romans chapter 1, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Well, so a lot of people might say, well, great, then everybody should be saved. But then it says, to him that believeth. So faith is a huge part of the equation. It's to everyone that believeth. So grace and faith have to work together for us to respond to this always more grace thing. There's always more grace. There's always more grace. Well, faith has to be employed in order for grace to, for us to benefit from the grace. So again, faith isn't something you do to move God. God's already moved. The ball is not in God's court. You know, God, we're not waiting on God to move his chess piece. God's waiting on us. And so if you have a financial need in your life, yes, there's always more grace, but there are some things that God's waiting for you to, respond through. And of course, he tells us what those things are in his word. There's some things that are very clearly laid out in the word. And then there's some things we need to seek God on. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And we looked at that back some weeks ago, that word is talking about the living voice. There are some things that God will tell you, this is how you can respond to me in this area of your life. If you have a need for some area of sickness or healing in your life, if you spend some time seeking the wisdom of God, God will speak to you, and he'll show you how you can respond to what he did through Jesus on the cross. What we want is, we just want it to all just happen to us. We just want it to automatically all just kick in, and we'll just start experiencing all these wonderful benefits of salvation. But God says, no, it works by faith. It works by you responding to me. You respond to what I've already done for you by grace. There's more than enough here. There's more than enough to meet this healing need. It's already been done at the cross. There's more than enough to meet your financial need. It's already been accomplished through the cross. There's more than enough for you to have a wonderful marriage. It's already been done at the cross. There's more than enough for you to have peace, to live an anxiety-free life. It's already been done at the cross. It's already been done. There's always more grace. But we have a part to play. We have a part to play. That's the response side. That's where faith comes in. So faith will appropriate whatever God's provided by grace. But we have to find out what that response is comprised of. Sometimes when it comes to finances, sometimes it's sowing seed. You know, people hear, well, you know, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, that's talking about sowing and sowing and sowing. You know, we don't just try it once and see if it'll work. God has things sprinkled throughout the Word of faith responses that we can step into. Now, people might think, well, no, that's works. No, it's not works. We do what we do in response to what God has done. We don't do it to get God to move. God's moved already. Again, God, we're not waiting for God to move. God's waiting for us to move. And the move that he's looking for from us is a faith response. And so that's why when we find ourselves in a place of need, the most ridiculous thing in the world is to give that. You know, Lord, you asked me to give. I need the very thing you're asking me to give. That's the response of faith he's looking for from us. So faith is what appropriates what God provides by grace. I mean, that's another old teaching. It's something we've shared over the years. But I was thinking about what's a good New Testament example of provision being available and a response being required. Let's look at the account in Luke chapter 5, because I think this is a really good account that would show sort of the just a good natural example of this. So every place there's a grace or an abundance of grace available, there's some kind of response that's required on us from us. There's some kind of response required from us for us to appropriate that abundance of grace. And some of them are really clearly laid out in the Word, and some are just things we need to seek the wisdom of God. Lord, how do I tap into this grace? What do I do? This is a story where Jesus, I'll just read it, and we'll just talk about it a little bit here at the time we've got left. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering him, said, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, and so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astounded, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which had been taken. So we'll just stop there. There's something really interesting in this particular translation, and I don't know if this is just unique to the King James, but I thought this is a really good example of there's always more grace and what's required of us to appropriate that more grace. Jesus told them after he was done speaking, he said, "Let down your nets for a draft." Now the word there is a plural word. He says, "Let down your nets." So there's a rhema. They had been fishing all night long. They needed fish. That was their livelihood. They needed fish. You know, this was their business. This is how we live. This is how we feed our families. This is how we take care of our children. Jesus told them what to do in order to have that need met. And he had intended, just as he always intended, for there to be more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. And he told them, "Let down your nets and you'll have a haul." You know, the word draft means a haul. You know, have you ever said, "Man, I made a haul today"? That's what they're talking about, just this abundant provision. And Simon answered him and said, "Lord, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down my net," singular, So Jesus told him how to tap into his abundant grace in this situation. Let down your nets. Well, Peter's thinking, oh, I'll let down my net. I'll do that. I'll let down a net. And so they did it. They did what Jesus told them to do. And they got so much in one net that it broke their net and filled up the boats. Can you imagine if they had done what Jesus told them to do and let down the nets instead of one net, what they would have ended up with? See, I think we put the limits on God. We're the ones that put the limits on God. God's told us how we'll prosper by being generous givers. Doesn't it tell us in Corinthians, it says that God loves a cheerful prompt to do it, generous giver, doesn't it? And it says, God, what would God say he would do to a person who is generous, prompt to do it, and eager to give and joyful about their giving? He said he would cause grace to abound toward them. Doesn't it say that? So he tells us, it's like, well, people, oh, Lord, I can only do this. Lord, you know, I really can't afford to give. I can't afford to do what you told me to do in your word. That's like the person that he said, let your nets down. And they said, well, I'll maybe let my net down. And yet there's this abundance that God wants to provide. But it takes faith. It takes a faith response to God to experience that abundance. And so here, what did they do? They missed out. They had a blessing. Obviously, this was probably a greater catch than they'd ever experienced. But you know, God wanted to do more. He wanted to do even more than what he did in that situation. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given unto you. It doesn't say just like measure. It says good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So, you know, again, this is just about finances, but what about all these other areas of our lives? God has a response, an appropriate response that we can employ that will enable us to experience that superabundance of grace that he says belongs to us. So no matter what we face in life, you know, maybe you're living in a place where I want to live in a bigger home. I want to have a home that I can entertain in, that I can have Christians over, and I want Lord, I'm thankful for what I'm living in, but I want something a little bit larger. Well, you know what? There's always more grace. We could say there's always more house. There's always more of whatever it is that we have need of. Now, we're not talking about lusts. We're not talking about greed or lusts or any of those types of things. But the needs that we have in life, there's always more grace than there is need. There's always more provision than there is need. There's always more healing. There's always more financial provision. There's always more peace. There's always more rest. There's always more of what we need in life. But there's a faith response that's someplace here that we have to employ in order to tap into that. It doesn't just happen automatically. And I think sometimes we're disappointed because we hear these wonderful promises of God, and then we can't figure out why. Well, if that's true, why isn't that happening? Have you ever thought that? Well, God says, I'm healed by his stripes, I'm healed. Why aren't I healed? Or if he said he'd meet all my needs according to his riches and glory, why aren't my needs all met? Well, have you sought the faith response that's necessary to tap into that abundant grace? See, that's our part. God's, it's a partnership. God provided it all. It's already laid up in store. You know, the old example of your uncle dies and leaves you a gazillion dollars in a bank account. Well, don't you have to do something? Even in the natural, wouldn't we accept that we would have to do something to go get that? Who is going to think, well, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, it's just going to show up in my checking account, or it's just going to show up, you know, in my mailbox. No, there's something that would be required of us to go tap into that provision. And that's all I'm trying to bring out this morning. There's always more grace, whatever you're looking at today. You know, I'm talking with Megan last night about a friend of hers who's dealing with some health issues. You know what? I don't care what the doctors say. There's more grace. There's always more grace. There's always more grace. There's more than enough of God's healing power available to heal whatever the doctors say. Even when the doctors are stumped by a sickness and don't know what's going on in a person's life, there's more than enough grace to meet that need. There's nothing that no need that we're going to have come up in our lives that we're going to be go to God with it, and God's going to go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough to cover that. He's got us covered. He's got every need covered, every single want covered, every desire covered. The word desire is such an interesting word in Psalm 37. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The word desire, the word at the beginning of that word means of, and sire means of the Father. Desire means it's of the Father. So if you have godly desires for things in your life, that's of the Father. So not only does he plant those desires in our hearts, but then he meets the need. And he doesn't just meet it. He doesn't just so you squeak through, you know, you just barely make it through. He said there's abundant grace available. There's more than enough grace. Always more grace. So again, just a challenge. If you're facing something in your life today, if you're facing a need of some kind, if it's a sickness, some kind of health need, some kind of degenerative thing, maybe it's a genetic issue, whatever it is, there's always more grace. If you're facing a financial need of some kind, and it's huge, maybe it just seems like it's an overwhelming, huge need, there's always more grace than how huge that need is. If you're maybe feel like you're at a place in a relationship where you're about ready to call it quits, there's more grace. There's always more grace. So it's just encouragement to me to know that no matter what we face in life, God saw ahead and he made provision for us. And it's not just enough to get by. It's more than enough. It's not just more than enough. It's more than enough. I mean, it's so beyond anything we can imagine. And we see that picture throughout the scriptures. God's provision was always above and beyond, just overflowing what the needs ever were. Because that's the Father we serve. Amen? So just think about that. Think about if you're facing a need in your life today of some kind, there's always more grace. Amen?